Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
It's been a hot week.
Especially for me today.
Your air conditioner went out at your work, right?
For a couple hours, yeah.
Jeez.
102 outside.
Wow. This week, the air conditioning goes off, and last week, you had a flood?
It's always an interesting day at Michelle's job.
Oh, I can't even explain it. But speaking of jobs...
Good segue. Nice.
There you go. There you go.
Get into it, Freddie.
Should we just start the show?
I mean...
Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Glad to have you back, Producer Ruben.
I know. I missed you.
Michelle Zuno has been keeping me company.
I have.
We've decided to put your face on the chair whenever you're not here. So, you know.
Yeah. It looks like we're watching a Dodger game. We have your cutout.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Welcome to Radio Flyer. My name is Freddie Rivera. This podcast that we do every single week. Producer Ruben, we've worked in radio practically all our lives. Working in radio in itself, in the music industry, is a crazy world. It's a crazy, crazy world. But now, I made a list of my top five oddest jobs I've ever had.
I just want to hear your story about working at the corners.
You know what? When I first started in radio, I was working at 99.1 KGGI. I would do weekend shifts.
I remember.
But I also had Verizon. And I had to pay that bill every month, right? And if you know Verizon, Verizon's not cheap. So I remember being in my early 20s, working at 99.1 KGGI on air. How cool is that? I'm telling all my friends, hey, listen to me. I'm going to be on 99.1 on Sunday at 5 p.m. Tune in, da-da-da-da-da-da. Or it was at midnight, right? Whatever. It was the coolest thing ever. I thought I was so cool. But then when my Verizon bill came, I couldn't pay it. I could not afford anything with that paycheck. I was making, I think, minimum wage.
kind of like my first job.
So my parents eventually said, all right, Freddie, that's great that you're on the radio, but either A, get a real job, or go to school full time. And I said, well, you know, I'm terrible at school.
Well, damn.
Wait, Freddie, did you have unlimited data?
You know what? There was no unlimited data at that time.
Yeah, but you know what they say about Verizon?
What?
The prices keep on rising.
Hey.
That's what I hear. I'm just saying.
I never heard that one.
So my parents were like, all right, you have to go get a real job, Freddie. Because
being on the radio is not a real job. Yeah, that makes me so sad.
I know. And I'm like, what am I going to do?
And your friends thought you were the coolest thing ever. Just saying.
My friends think I'm cool. I think I have the coolest job in the world. I had to get a job. And I'm like, what am I going to do? So I took the longest time possible to find a job. My mom would wake me up early in the morning. All right, Freddie, go out, find a job. And I'm like, ugh.
Guess what? There's
so
a job fair.
I would literally just drive around.
Oh, Freddie.
Mom, if you're listening, I try to keep him in line. He didn't listen to me.
I found out that my friend Victor... He was the manager at a local Subway here in Rancho Cucamonga.
Shout out to Vic.
Yeah, Vic.
I thought, all right, you know what? Maybe I should just hit him up and tell him that it's kind of embarrassing, though. You know, you can put yourself in my position.
Of course.
You're a radio DJ on air at 99.1 KGGI, but then you got to call a friend to ask for a favor to get you a real job.
So, Freddie.
Being a good friend that he was, he hired me. He hired me at Subway.
Aww.
I started working at Subway.
That's cool.
How does this lead to the corner job that you had?
Well, I had the job for 2 weeks and I quit.
So you didn't want to be a sandwich artist?
I would make sandwiches for myself too much.
He would eat them all.
But all right, let's get into my top five because Ruben wants to hear about the, I work with dead people. So.
Yep, I want to hear
that
story.
Very interesting.
All right, my first job when I was 15 years old, this is number five, by the way. Mm-hmm. I was working as a knife dealer.
A what?
an arms dealer.
I was selling knives.
Kitchen knives?
Yeah, cutlery.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I was like, what?
Cutco was the name of the company, and I think they recruited me like literally at my graduation. When you like, it was at this big baseball field, right? And then like, you know, you're walking to get your diploma, and then somebody else hands you a business card. Hey, want a job?
Oh, yeah.
You know you're going to have to pay off those student loans soon, just saying.
I hit them up and they're like, hey, come down to a meeting. You know, it's one of those things. You know, you have to go into a meeting and it's this big pump you up conference about, oh, we do this and we do that and da-da-da. I decided this sounds cool. I'm like, right off the bat, I'm like, ooh, I get to dress as a businessman. I get to be a businessman. I get to hire people under me as in my team. Yeah. This is awesome. The thing about Cutco is it's really nice cutlery.
It is.
And it's very expensive.
It is.
But lifetime guarantee. So if you want to buy some, I got, I still have some in the back.
You know why? I thought Cutco works so well. You know why? Someone did a demonstration for me, and they could cut through a penny.
Yes.
And I never forgot that because
everybody. Scissors!
The scissors that it cut was through a penny.
Part of the whole presentation. So.
Isn't that the kind of job where, like, if you don't sell, you don't get paid?
Yes.
Yes, it's exactly. All commission based.
Oh, my goodness.
I went to the back room and I just pulled out. These are Cutco scissors.
The famous Cutco scissors.
The famous Cutco scissors.
Can I hold them?
Hold them?
Looks good quality.
These are awesome.
But they train you during the presentation, you bust out a penny, a real penny.
Yes.
Those scissors can cut a penny in half.
Isn't that illegal?
How do we get away with that?
Cheers to Cutco.
Right? Good point, Producer Ruben.
So why did you quit?
I just think it wasn't enough money at some point.
His mom told him he needs a real job.
So then, let's move on down the list of my top five oddest jobs to number four.
The court?
No, we're not getting there yet.
Oh, my God.
Ruben wants to hear about the dead people. Number four, I worked at the Daily Bulletin newspaper.
Boring.
Nah.
But here's the thing. I didn't work at the Daily Bulletin building. I would go door to door, knock on people's houses, and try to sell you a subscription to the Daily Bulletin newspaper.
I've seen you people.
It was wild. I was 16 years old, fresh out of Cutco. How creepy is this? It was all teenagers, too. They'd pick us up in a big white van.
Caravan.
And they would drive us to random neighborhoods in the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
And we would just go from door to door to door to door. Trying to sell subscriptions to newspaper.
All boys, all girls, mix?
It was a mix. Oh, okay. It was mostly guys, but...
And all teenagers.
Most of us were very young, yeah. Yeah.
And they just gave you like a little script or... Did they just go and sell paper? What did they tell you?
It's interesting you asked that because the script they gave us was a BS story. They were like, hi, I'm going to this special school and I'm raising money to try to go to Washington, D.C. because I want to see the...
They're like, oh, bless your
heart. That sounds familiar.
Not to knock the Daily Bulletin newspaper because it's a gray paper, but they would drop us off. And I'm like, isn't that a liability? What if something happens to these kids, you know?
Did that script work?
Was that commission-based also?
It was also only commission-based.
Okay.
So my parents are like, Freddie, we said get a real job, a job that pays you hourly.
So you come back to, well, I got a job. Yeah. No, Freddie, that's not a real job.
No, I mean a job I would pick for you, not one you would pick for yourself.
Okay. Now you're going to talk about the dead people?
Not yet.
Number three in the list of my top five oddest jobs. Number three, can you believe I was a limo driver?
Oh, Freddie.
A limo driver.
I drove a limo.
I got a question. Yeah. I'm curious.
Yes.
Do some of those clients do the whoopee inside the limo?
Yeah. How many of them actually close the partition on you?
I don't think I've had the job long enough to tell you that.
Because he quit after 2 weeks again. Freddie, you're so inconsistent. This is what I'm getting here.
So the limo driver thing was cool because I would drive for, he was a doctor.
Oh, okay. Mm.
But he wasn't just any doctor. He was, I guess, the head doctor at Pomona Valley Medical Hospital.
He was
the head honcho. And so they would have, doctors' conferences at the Fairplex, mm-hmm. At those hotels, the lobby, and I would, or these parties, the random things. And he would live up North Claremont in those big homes over there.
Yep.
I was taught how to drive the limo really slow, very graceful, very cool. Big old black stretch limo, beautiful limo. I remember one time, it was my very first time, I picked up the doctor and his wife, very nice to me. And they sit in the back, I open the door for them, like a limo driver should. We drove from their house down to the Fairplex, I think is Pomona Valley Mining Company or something like that, and I dropped them off. And I have a 4-hour window to just sit there and wait. And as a limo driver, you pull up to the parking lot and you sit there and wait.
You go sleep.
Right? Yeah. So
you rush to wait.
So I call up my buddy Carlos, who lives in Pomona, and I'm like, hey, want to ride in a limo?
Oh, my God. Shout out to Carlos.
I'll pick you guys up. Want to go for a little ride? Sure. I'm supposed to be waiting for the doctor, right? Keep in mind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I drive off. I go pick him up, and we go joyriding for like an hour.
When you went with your friend for that little joyride, did you get back in time?
Yeah, I got back in time, and I still waited.
And they never noticed you took off?
They never noticed.
That's cool.
All right, so going back to the list, my top 5 oddest jobs of all time. Number 2.
The coroner.
Number 2.
Not yet.
Playboy Radio.
Oh, I remember that one.
Playboy Radio.
Playboy. I worked for Playboy.
I have so many questions. First of all, nobody wants to hear Playboy. So how is it Playboy Radio? They want to see.
Right. So
how does this work?
How do I explain this?
All right, yeah, please do.
So poor man who had his own show and he did stuff with Rick
from
D's.
From K-Rock, yeah.
He was on K-Rock. He had his own new thing. It was at a sports station in Santa Monica. Me and producer Ruben would be producing a show. And he asked me to come help along with him.
The producer of the Playboy channel was helping poor man. And that's how you met him.
His name is Farrell. Farrell, the nicest guy ever. By the way, he invited us to a drive-in, I think, this week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Farrell?
Farrell.
Oh, we got to go.
So Farrell hits us up like a couple weeks later. And he's like, hey, I got a new project I'm working on. It's Playboy Radio. I'll tell you all about it when you guys get here.
Okay.
Great. But at the time, I think producer Ruben was busy with his own projects, so you declined.
Because I was busy with another project.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it, so I offered it to Freddie. Guess what,
you
Freddie?
You don't have to submit an application.
There's a job opening at Playboy.
Again, this is just opening up for you, Freddie.
Interesting how the Playboy Radio thing worked. Because it's on Sirius XM satellite radio.
I would imagine so.
And it's at Playboy, so when I say it was at Playboy, it was at the actual Playboy TV studios.
Oh.
So I got to see everything.
Bunch of little rabbits, huh?
The show was called Night Calls, and you would have a model, and guys would call up and say, hey. And she's like, okay. And I would be there.
You never told me this, Freddie.
I'm going to fall off my chair.
And this is a job I turned down?
Yes. I don't know why. Ruben, I never knew.
You messed up.
I never knew why you turned down Playboy. But thank you. And I...
I mean...
You walk to the radio studios through the TV studios in the building at Playboy. And so when I was walking home...
It's hard to walk straight.
When I was...
He's Ruben. Like...
I can afford my Verizon bill now.
Take the girl out. How did that go when you told your parents you worked at Playboy?
That's interesting. I think I told them about halfway through, but I said I was working for...
The radio station.
Sirius XM.
They're like, oh, okay.
In my world, at 20 years old, I was making $21.50 an hour. I finally started establishing myself. I could pay my own phone bill. I could pay this bill. I could pay that bill.
Wow, Freddie, no wonder you never told me the details.
Ask me if I ever went to the Playboy Mansion.
Did you?
No.
Oh.
I didn't stay long enough.
Even my dad has been there.
Wait, we see a trend here, Michelle. He never stays long enough at a job.
He never stays. That's why I said inconsistent.
But I'll leave Playboy Radio... The whole story for a different segment so we can get into detail about that. Let me move on with the list.
Okay.
So that was Playboy Radio at number 2. My top 5 oddest jobs of all time.
Here we go.
Here we go. Number 1.
Number 1, the LA County Coroner's Department.
Yikes.
I got the job through my aunt.
Okay.
My Aunt Miriam. She hooked me up with a job. Just
Did
like
she work there
just
too
like or? Every other job I've had, it's through somebody you know.
Every job.
This is the real job that
wait,
I think what, my parents wanted to have.
What
wanted
was
me
your
to
reaction
like
when
the county?
What was your reaction when she told you what are the duties? I mean, like
I was like an office clerk or like, you know, like I was data entry or like, you know, file clerk or something like that. So I was working in the main office, the main floor.
Okay.
Just like any other office, you know, just doing stuff. At the LA County Coroner's Department, you would hit -4 in the elevator, and it goes 4 floors underground.
Nope.
And then the doors open up, and as soon as the doors open up, you get this strong, giant whiff of just terrible smell.
Formaldehyde. Oh, and
describe
like,
it like what?
I can't describe it. It's I mean,
putrid.
The smell of decomposing bodies with chemicals. I don't.
So why would you need to go down negative four
That's
floors?
A good question, because doctors would work there, huh? And I would have to bring them files, or I would have to take a file back. So I would go down there, you know, often, not all the time, but often. And sometimes if you stay long enough, your clothes would smell for the rest of the day. It was that strong. It was wild, because you, as soon as the doors open up, you walk inside. And I kid you not, it's like out of a horror film. I mean, there's like body parts in jars. There's bodies laying on those silver beds.
Yeah.
Being, you know, worked
ready
on.
Ready for an autopsy or...
I mean, is it just a body clothed, unclothed with a blanket or what?
They're unclothed.
Yeah, they're unclothed. They're naked.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's wild, because sometimes bodies release gas after you're dead.
Yep.
You see that.
Really?
Sometimes you hear it.
Oh, shoot.
Is this too much?
What's the temperature down there? Is
it's
it like
so cold.
It has to be, because bodies decompose within hours.
Yeah.
Freddie.
It was cool. It was a cool job. What's wild is these doctors are so used to it, they would eat their lunch like just right over the body sometimes. Like,
in next to the body?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah.
Wild.
That's rad.
I hate to ask what they were eating. I mean,
definitely a cheeseburger.
It was a sandwich.
Oh, shit.
Definitely a burger.
Oh, so I got fired.
Oh, what did you do, Freddie?
I would also take the company vehicle, the county vehicle.
The one that says coroner on it?
Yes. From the coroner's department down to the Hall of Records. Hall of Records in downtown LA, which is like a 10
and
minute.
In the coroner van.
It was a 10 minute drive. I was 21 at the time.
Oh, no.
I was driving with an expired driver's license.
And they didn't know that?
On the job.
I guess it expired like, you know, the last couple of weeks or whatever, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I got called into the office one day and we're like, hey, do you have a new driver's license, an updated driver's license? And I'm like, no, that's all. Okay. They fired me.
Oh, so it's nothing you did.
Nothing
it's
just, I did. Oh, okay. They just out of nowhere found
they
out.
They didn't get pulled over and
no,
get a ticket
no.
for it.
They just found out that I was driving with the expired driver's license.
Okay,
the company
not,
corners.
That's not so bad.
I liked the job because it was cool and I made a lot of friends there. My aunt worked there, so she would always bring me food all the time. It was cool. Those are my top five oddest jobs. Let me do a quick recap. Number five, Cutco Cutlery, which is really high quality stuff, by the way. Number four, working in the Daily Bulletin newspaper. Number three, a limo driver. Number two, Playboy Radio. Shout out to Farrell. And number one, the LA County Coroner's Office, LA County Coroner's Department. And shout out to everybody. Everybody there was very nice. So nice. So it was a cool place to work. So there you go. My top five oddest jobs. And producer Ruben, you've also had a lot of jobs. By the way, you can go back to episode one to hear producer Ruben's story of how he got into radio.
Yeah.
That's episode one, but continue.
Yeah, well, my first job was similar to one of yours. At the age of 13, I had a job as a newspaper boy until I broke a window. you got to throw the paper in the yard?
Oh,
I threw it a little bit too hard, and the paper was going up. I go, uh-oh, come down already. It was flying like a Frisbee. And I'm like, oh, shoot, it's going to hit the window. It's going to hit the, oh, and boom, it broke the glass. And I go, uh-oh.
Whoops.
I put a rock there. And I ran like somebody threw a rock.
Because it definitely wasn't the newspaper.
Somebody who threw a rock. It wasn't the paper. Another job. I don't know if you want to call this a job.
Ruben is dating this girl.
Who would you say she looks like? What's that girl in the Crazy Asian?
Rich? Constance Wu?
Yeah, Wu. Something like that.
She's Wu. Beautiful. She's
beautiful
very pretty.
Girl.
And go ahead.
So all I know is that producer Ruben is frequently flying back and forth from LAX to China and back. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? Mm-hmm. He's like, and then, you know, Ruben, you call him on the phone. Hey, Ruben, what are you doing over there? Oh, just a project.
Yeah, always is top secret.
Okay.
Oh, just something. Just a little something.
Like, all right, gorgeous, you know. But then eventually, Ruben starts to tell me and fill me in little by little.
Okay, well, she hits me up. Ruben, I got this project for you if you want to take it. Almost like a Mission Impossible type of thing. And I go, what? I got you a job in China. I go, what? In China? Why? Why so far?
Yo, dang.
I don't want to go to China. And then she goes, it pays a lot. But why so far? And she goes, then she told me how much it pays. I go, really?
Be right there.
Yeah.
It was a lot. I don't want to say how much, but it was a lot. It was, okay, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
She says that you're going to be an engineer representing this company. They do transportation for America, all the transportation vehicles. They do so many things. And I go, are you kidding me? I'm clueless about engineering.
That's what I was going to ask you. You've never been an engineer before?
I've never been an engineer. She wanted me to go through.
You are now.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what she said. Don't worry. I'm going to give you the credentials.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But do you tell her, like, I've never been an engineer before?
Yeah. I don't know anything about engineering. Like an engineer designer on top of that. So don't worry. When we go to China, I'm going to hook you up with three real engineers.
Ah.
You're kidding. I have to be with these guys. I mean, what if we don't understand? Don't worry. They think you're the American best engineer.
Oh, my God.
And you better play the part.
No kidding.
So I
Who is this? Who is it? Who is she?
The girl I was dating for 4 years. This Chinese girl. She's from Shenyang, China.
What was
and she was my girlfriend for 4 years. The reason she got me this job, because I asked her, how did you get this hookup? I mean, as an engineer for GE and working for this company in China, he goes, my boyfriend is the owner or ex-boyfriend. She said ex-boyfriend. I go, wow, okay, that explains it. I mean, if you're the owner of the company, then it's easy to get the gig.
Yeah.
We're on our way to China.
How long is the flight to China?
I did a quick crash course on being an engineer.
He read a pamphlet on the way.
Yeah,
in the
And what did you learn, Ruben?
Everything was paid for. She gave me money to buy some engineering tools. Like, there's this
to pretend he knows how to use it.
Engineering costume?
Yeah, so, like, yeah, really? No, I have to buy these blue shirts.
Phillips. Pliers.
And these tools called a caliper and micrometers. They measure things. Mm-hmm. So, and you're going to carry this little toolbox and tablet.
This is crazy.
She's telling me how to pull this off, right? I'm just thinking, man, this is a lot of money. I got to do it.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't know China made the train for America.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was, the train. Train parts. What the problem was that they were complaining that China's making a lot of mistakes, a lot of, you know, the parts didn't fit like a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So my job was to redesign it so everything can fit perfect.
Yeah. This is insane.
So it's like that movie, Can't Catch Me, you know, with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can, yeah.
I love that movie.
So you're playing the part.
I'm playing the part as an engineer.
And most importantly, you're getting paid.
And I'm getting paid top dollar. All expenses paid.
You're traveling to and from China to LA to New York.
In top hotels.
You're living the life.
Did they speak
English? Did they all speak English?
A lot of them speak English in China.
There's another story to that.
I want to know about the dinner, Michelle. You have to hear about the dinner.
Yeah, what happened with the dinner?
Oh, the dinner part.
The dinner.
Oh, okay. That's where things went downhill.
Oh, no.
But before that, then we went back to China. And then I'm thinking, I got to explain all these directions to the Chinese people. How am I going to do it?
Yeah.
And this one girl, they gave me a tour of the factory. And this girl runs to me and comes up to me and says, are you American? And she reached out her hand and started shaking my hand. And then she wouldn't let go.
Yeah.
She's just like shaking it a lot. Like, ooh, I'm meeting it. Like, kind of like starstruck. Because
You must be famous. You're from America.
This is the first American she ever, you know, these people are working like almost 7 days in this factory, right? And this girl comes up and, wow, it's a pleasure meeting you. And she speaks good English. I'm surprised. And then she goes, can I be your translator? And I go, boom, perfect timing.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, I need a translator. That's how I can communicate with the workers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I talked to the manager, and they said, yeah, she can be your translator. She was cute, by the way.
He's like, yes, you can.
Her name was Erica.
This is a good time in your life right now, Ruben.
Yeah, I was really having fun with this job. I felt like the guy in the movie in Leonardo DiCaprio, exactly like that. So I'm going everywhere with this girl on my side. She's got a tablet. She really
She's your real life assistant.
Yeah, real life assistant. So I'm starting to feel like an engineer.
Hilarious.
You can't make this stuff up.
You know, I'm really hanging out with this girl. We're having lunch together. Ooh. We're having breakfast together. She's attending the meetings with me. My girlfriend was noticing this and was starting to get mad.
Oh.
She didn't like it. Like, who's this girl?
My translator.
She's my translator. Yeah. They assigned her to me. Yeah. It wasn't me. They assigned her to me. So, I don't like her. And I'm like, why? You know, she wasn't doing this in front of me. This is when we're back in the hotel. Yeah. I don't like that girl. I don't want her being your translator. I go, but she's helping. How am I going to talk to these people? Get somebody else. If you don't get somebody else, I'm going to have that girl fired.
Wow.
We got into it. Fire this girl. She has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Right.
I just figured if she tries to fire her, I'm going to speak up.
Yeah.
I'm going to introduce her to the owner and just recommend her.
Yeah.
Promote her.
Right.
You got to promote this girl.
Yeah.
It was going to be a war over this girl. Yeah. So she let me have my way and I kept the translator.
Hey, there you go. Well, she was good, right?
She was actually good. She was like, wow, I was impressed with her English. She spoke very well.
Okay. Anyway. Tell us about the dinner.
Now the dinner comes up.
Oh, my goodness.
Michelle Zuno, you have to hear this. This is a...
I'm not sure I'm ready. Go.
My girlfriend says, Ruben, the owner of the company loves your work. He says, you are doing a great job.
As a make-believe engineer.
Are you hearing this?
From the make-believe engineer with a master's and doctor's and who knows what.
Who knew Ruben is a con artist?
With his briefcase and his tablet.
She goes, Ruben, the owner wants to meet you. He's arranging a nice dinner with you and the five managers of all the company. Because he has so much money. He got this really nice restaurant. He invited all the managers from his seven companies. And then we're at this restaurant, right?
So this is all the big wigs are getting
all
together.
Only the big wigs
only
are here.
Only the seven managers and the American.
And the American. My girlfriend puts me aside and says, Ruben, I need to tell you something. I go, uh-oh. This is before the owner comes. Because we're all waiting for the owner. Okay. The owner used to be my boyfriend. I go, I know that. Okay. The owner doesn't know you are my current boyfriend.
Oh, my. She tells you this right before you go to
dinner?
Right
before I'm meeting this guy. Okay.
Not to make it awkward
and
at
go,
all.
And I go, what's wrong with that? I want you to keep it that way. He doesn't need to know.
You see how everyone's playing multiple roles here?
Yes.
So I'm guessing, are you still hooking up with this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if she's still dating this guy. And obviously,
are you wondering this while you're actually at dinner?
Yeah, we're waiting for the owner to show up, and we're having this conversation.
Oh, so she gives you the rundown, like, right before.
Right before, yeah. You better not let him know that you're my current boyfriend. You're the American engineer. Don't forget that.
The American engineer.
Stick to the script, Ruben.
Stays to the script, Ruben. Yeah. Exactly,
And then meanwhile, your mind is just going everywhere now.
Yeah, I'm thinking, what the? You know?
He's like, don't say anything stupid.
Exactly. So the owner shows up. And these managers, like, stand up off their chairs, and they're, like, you know, clapping and cheering him in. And I'm the only one sitting down. I go, uh-oh, I think I better stand up, too.
A judge walks in the room?
Yeah, serious. I immediately felt the fear these seven workers, managers, they had for this owner. Mm-hmm. And this owner was kind of young. I mean, he was a good-looking guy.
Like in his 40s, 30s,
50s? Late 30s.
He had a real job, Freddie.
Yeah, he had a real job, Freddie.
Sheesh. Step it up, will you?
He sits down, and that's when everybody sits down.
Yeah.
It's like super respect for this guy. And then he orders some liquor. I forgot what it's called. It starts with an H.
Hennessy?
Hennessy. Okay. There you go. That one. Isn't that your favorite, Freddie?
No.
No, that's not his favorite.
Hennessy is hard to drink.
Hennessy is when you're in a bad mood.
So he orders his Hennessy, right? And then he gives everybody a shot. And he goes, I want everybody to take a shot.
Ruben's like, huh?
He doesn't take shots.
I do not like shots.
He's like this.
I'm a lightweight for shots.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I almost keep saying my ex-girlfriend's name. I got to be careful. She might be listening. I'm just, I go, I can't drink. What am I going to do? You better drink it. He's the boss.
Yeah.
He cannot say no to him.
Yeah.
Nobody here is saying no to him.
Yeah.
And I felt that clearly. So I drank.
There goes one shot.
There goes one shot. And then I'm thinking, oh, shoot. I hope I don't get sick.
Yeah.
Are
you eating during
this?
Yeah,
we're having dinner and then.
Well, what kind of food?
It was lobster and steak.
Damn.
And it was a lot of.
The real deal. Mm-hmm. Michelle's in. Are you hearing this?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was really stuff I never seen before.
Right,
I
mean, up my alley.
And then he stands up and says, Gambay, which means
cheers.
Cheers.
Uh-huh.
And you have to finish it. There's no sipping around here. It's like, oh no, another one?
I'm Ruben's
thinking,
in trouble.
Oh shoot.
She didn't warn you about any of this, by the way, huh?
I'm just trying to go with the vibe, right? Yeah, I don't want to say no either. Yeah. So I drank another shot.
Shot number two.
And I'm thinking, oh shoot. I'm starting to get scared already. And then one more shot. Oh, I can barely handle one. And he tells me, and these were big cups. These were not little cups. So I take the third shot.
Ugh.
And after that one, I said, I am done.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope it's not bad. And I told her, you better watch me because I usually never take this much alcohol. So I'm sitting there, right? And I feel it kicking in.
No.
And big old smile comes in my face. That's the first sign right there. And then
he's all goofy.
I'm all happy.
I've seen Ruben drunk before, so I
and I don't know what they're saying, but I'm laughing along with their jokes.
They're all talking about you, and you're
they're probably talking about the American. And then I whispered into her ear, because she was sitting right next to me, and across from her was her boyfriend, I don't know, sugar daddy. I don't know what he was to her at that point. And I whispered in her ear, I love you.
Ruben's feeling good.
And she's like, shut up.
She's like shocked because I never say this.
Yeah.
So she looks at me with this shocked look in her face. And I'm sure the boyfriend is like, what did he tell you?
Yeah.
That you look so shocked.
So what did she say after you told her that?
She didn't say nothing. She continued talking to her.
She carried on.
To sugar
daddy. Yeah. So I'm thinking, what the heck?
Yeah.
No response. So I'm getting a little mad.
Oh, no. No, Ruben.
So.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking maybe I didn't say it sexy enough or something. I mean, I never say this. Why isn't she reacting?
This is great.
So this time I do it again.
Yeah.
And this time I try to make it more sexy. I'm like, I love you. And she's like, okay, I got it. she's getting mad.
Yeah.
She pushed me aside. I got it already. Okay. And I'm still smiling.
He's like, well, I think I did good then.
Even though she got mad at me and said, I got it, I was just like, oh, happy-go-lucky. And then I'm thinking, I think she didn't hear me. This time, I said it out loud.
In front of the sugar daddy.
In front of the sugar daddy.
Oh.
I'm guessing he's a sugar daddy.
M-G.
I said, I love you.
Oh, no. No.
And I kid you not, it felt like a pin dropped.
Every single person stopped talking.
You know, Chinese people there, they don't know that much English.
But they know I love you.
But they know what I love you means.
Oh, my gosh.
So they are, the seven managers, I just remember looking at them with this shock in their face.
Yeah. So what did you feel at that moment?
He was still smiling.
That I up.
You dropped the ball on that one.
Because everybody got quiet, and I go, oh, what did I do?
Yeah. And he's all like, what I meant to say was, I love this job.
And that's when I started having blackouts.
Oh, you know, my God. I cannot. Oh,
you know, gosh, when you can't remember certain things?
Yes.
Ruben.
It's just like in and out.
Yeah.
I had a blackout after that. And then when I came back, I said, where's the owner? Managers were still here, but the owner was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh, he left. Something you said, I think. She was mad. That? Yeah, she was really mad because the whole mission was to be the American engineer, not bringing and hooking up her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The managers, don't worry, we'll help you take the American home, which was my hotel.
Yeah.
My hotel.
But keep in mind, you and your girlfriend are staying at the hotel together.
No, her house. She has a house over there.
Oh. So you're at a hotel.
They think I'm at a hotel and that she's at her home. They're all helping me. I remember them. I had another blackout. When I woke up again, I was in front of this Maserati.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the owner's Maserati. But the owner was gone already. So the assistants were helping out. So they put me in the back seat. And she's with me, like holding me.
Oh, no.
Wow. This is a nice car. I just remember seeing wood everywhere and leather. Yeah. Wood and leather.
Ruben's still enjoying his time.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is a cool car. Nice. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I feel nauseous.
No.
You know, like you can feel it, even though you're really drunk, but you can feel it when you're ready to throw up.
Yes.
And I go, oh, shit, I cannot throw up in this car.
Yeah.
And then I it's like, what do I do? What do I do? So I feel it coming. I'm going to throw up. Oh, shoot. So I open the door in the freeway.
You open the door while the car's driving?
Yeah, we're probably like going like 60. I don't know how long. It was like super fast.
Well.
So I opened the door and threw my head out the door.
It's all wobbly out there.
All I remember was seeing the road flash like really quick, the road, the pavement.
Everything's a blur.
Yeah.
Hey, keep in mind that imagine you being on the side of the freeway and you see a car drive by and you see a little head wobbling.
Like, what is that guy doing?
What is he doing?
I'm over here trying not to snore. How am I getting a visual? What in the world?
So my girlfriend screamed.
Yeah.
Help me, he's falling out of the car. So my girlfriend grabs me, and one of the guys grabbed me, and they pull me back in. Luckily, I finished vomiting.
Did you get anything in the seat?
No.
He's a pro.
Well done.
So it was clean. All right, I woke up again. And I felt the vomit again, the nauseousness. Oh, no, here comes another one.
Just when you think it's over.
Just when I thought round it was over, round two. And
still, I know it's always a round two.
You're still driving, right?
Yeah, we're still on the highway.
Yeah, so you guys left dinner with the boss. You're in the boss's car, but the boss is gone. The assistants are driving you home with your girlfriend, and you guys are driving to her house.
To my hotel.
Yeah, to your quote-unquote hotel.
Yeah, my hotel.
And you guys haven't got there yet, and you're still on the freeway?
Yeah, we're still on the freeway, and I'm feeling nauseous again. So I just said to myself, I'll just open the door again.
You're like, the first time worked.
Yeah. So when I felt it coming, I reached to open the door again, but it wouldn't open. They put the child lock.
Yes.
I couldn't open the door. I go, oh, shoot, they locked the door on me. I was ready to throw up. I go, oh, my. What did I do? I was thinking of vomiting in her dress. Oh, the window. It just popped in my head. The window. Roll down the window. So I roll down the window. I stick out my head again.
And then you just see all this vomit coming out.
Ruben's head wobbling in the wind.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yep. I kind of like dirtied the whole side of the Maserati.
Oh, no.
At least it didn't get in the car, though.
Hey, well done again, Ruben. Hey.
So, when I woke up again, I heard, so which hotel does he live in? And then she says, it's not a hotel. He's staying with me. They're like, shocked. The American is staying with you? And she kind of like put her head down and said, yeah. And she didn't want them to, I can tell she didn't want them to find this out because she probably knows they will report back to the owner. I still had one more week left. But during that week, the owner wouldn't talk to her. Before all this happens, the owner loved me. He wanted me to do a second project.
So you're saying you could have doubled the money.
I could have doubled the crazy amount I was making the first time. I think, you know, the owner purposely got me drunk.
To see how you were.
To see if.
He felt that you were.
Or you're honest sometimes when you're drunk. You're honest. You know, I want to find out about this guy.
We're going
to
set this guy up and test him.
Test
him.
Yeah, I think they were testing
me. First test is you had to take the shots or he was going to be mad.
Yeah.
And then the second test is how did you handle them?
That is a good point. When you're in that kind of setting, how should you react? Michelle?
I would have taken the shots. I mean, well, how else do you get out of it? The only other thing you could do is say, oh, I'm taking antibiotics right now. I really can't. I'm taking medication
right
now.
This is what they said if I didn't drink, that I was a traitor.
Oh.
Really?
And see, different cultures.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. It's a sign of respect.
Ruben, you have to drink because if you don't drink, they're going to think you're a traitor.
Wow.
And you cannot say no to the boss.
Yikes. Then taking the shots, it would be to the head, all three.
Yeah. The Chinese people.
And I would have been like afterwards with all this water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trying to wash it down.
I think I kind of screwed things up.
You think?
After all this money he was making.
Wow.
And then my ex-girlfriend, the next morning after I got better, kind of, they asked me, what would you like to have breakfast? And I said, menudo. Do they serve menudo here?
That's a wild story.
I love it.
You live a life.
That was fun. Actually, I wouldn't mind going through that again.
Yeah, because he made a good amount of money doing it. I wouldn't mind.
Catch me if you can, producer Ruben.
Catch me if you can.
Crazy money.
All right, so this is Radio Flyer and then Michelle Zuno. So you...
Oh, Lord.
I don't want to say where you work now, but let's just say where Michelle's about to work. Mayor of the... for the people of the people.
Freddie wants me to be mayor so bad. I don't know if people like me that much. I think he thinks they do, but I don't know if they really do.
Ruben, who wouldn't like Michelle?
I don't know.
Let's hear your story.
My stories are not that crazy. And honestly, where I work now, I have a ton of crazy stories, but I would probably have to clear it to see if I could talk about it.
I remember you mentioned you worked at Blockbuster for a little while too, right?
I did. No crazy stories about Blockbuster, although... they're not in business anymore. I could probably tell some of the little secrets. So we had video games.
Did you ever get hit on?
All the time.
Really? Yes. Yeah, tell us some of those stories.
All the time.
Like, give us a few. Look at the biggest smile on her face. Look at that. She's remembering.
How cute.
I had some people bring me dinner, lunch.
At work?
Yes. Like, here, I brought this for you for when you eat at lunch. Guys that wanted to... woo me, I guess. I had.
Did you take it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're like, of course. Oh, hello.
Shoot. Well, I knew who they were. They were customers. So there have been times where people have just left their number on their receipt. There has been times.
Would you ever call them back if they did that?
No. No. I did have.
Unless they were cute or muscular?
Well, I had a crush on.
Muscular. I'm buff.
There were some cute people, I'm not going to lie. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. You could use my discount on the Reese's Pieces. I was so young.
This sounds like back in the day.
I was so young and stupid. I don't even know. And then I did have a crush on the guy who worked.
A customer?
Yes. Well, he was a customer, but he was a person who worked in the shopping center. And I would always go...
in the same shopping center where Blockbuster.
And if he listens to me, he's going to know exactly who this is because I still talk to him. I do. I don't want to say his name. I don't know if he'll let me. But he worked at... I don't know if I should give it away. He worked at the grocery store that was there. It's no longer there. So people really will know if they live in this area. And he used to work in the meat department in the back. And I would go all the way to the back of the store every time I would go just to look at him through this window.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'd be like, oh. And then, coincidence, I happened to go to a 99.1 concert. It was like an old school 99.1 old school concert. I can't remember what it was called.
Uh-huh.
Back in like 99-ish.
Wow.
And I saw him there. And he kind of recognized me. I'm like, hey, I know you and this and that. And then he came back to visit me at my store. And he was like, hey, I came to say hi. And we dated a little while over the years and stuff like that. But yeah, we're still good friends now. And I just don't want to give his name away.
Yeah, make sure it doesn't slip.
But stuff like that, it's cool, you know, like, and I think a couple times we had those really cool movie posters up and he's like, well, I'm supposed to destroy them, but I know you wanted that one or kind of.
Why do they have to destroy them? Why wouldn't they give them to people?
No, I think they do, but I think they weren't allowed to sell them. Right. And I think some customers would put their name down. If you ever get rid of it, can you please call me? And we'd be like, okay. I don't think there was really like a process.
Yeah.
I think they just didn't want to make it a habit of people coming in and asking for that stuff. But
so what was the first thought that goes through your mind? You're working at the store and then somebody comes up to you and hits on you. What's your first reaction, your thought?
That they want to get something for free.
Wise woman.
Because if you know people there, they're like, can I get a discount? Can I get something for free? I mean.
Here's my question. You worked at Blockbuster. Mm-hmm. I see this video rental down the street. How are they still in business?
I don't know. There's one Blockbuster still open. I want to say it's Ohio. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. And right now they're doing
they kept their VCRs 14, over there, huh?
$14 or $15 a night to stay the night at this Blockbuster because it's the last one standing. And they do like a couch bed, set up a TV.
They do?
Yeah, like a whole
what
living
a
room
cool
with
idea.
Popcorn, cookies, candy, and all that stuff. And you pay per night to stay the night in there if you look it up. I forget. I want to say Ohio. I can't remember the exact state.
Oh, take a look at the TV.
Yeah, see? It looks so cozy. And that's still an actual store.
Wow, what a great idea.
I want to say they might be closing it soon, and that's why they're kind of doing this, but...
Oh, it's $4 a night.
Oh, $4? I was thinking 14, but 4 is even better.
Bend, Oregon.
Oregon, Ohio, same thing. They're not near each other at all, but whatever, you know.
Again, a shout-out to everybody that we met through work, all the people. Every job you have builds character. You build character. You learn something about yourself.
Yeah.
And you take that with you to the next one. And you constantly improve yourself. And that's the cool thing about jobs. Even when jobs you don't like, you learn things.
Right.
You know, and you always take away something from every job you have. So there you go. That's Radio Flyer, episode number 2. A huge shout out to my team here. A big shout out to On the Blue Mic. Let's give it up for Michelle Zuno.
Yeah. All right.
On the black mic. Oh, no, hold on. Actually, hold on. Before we end the show, you got to tell us about the Mana story.
Next one.
Come on. Yeah,
this has been going too long already.
Yeah, all right. Okay, next one. All right. Give it up for producer Ruben Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And on behalf of the team, my name is Freddie Rivera, and this is Radio Flyer. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.